Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just praise and thank you that we can come together today. Open our mind, our heart, our eyes to see, to understand, to connect with your word, Lord, and to receive it. Lord, to be transformed and empowered. The Lord may be effective. Your word says it is powerful and effective. And we believe to operate and function that way in our life today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to just start with making a short announcement that I didn't do before. But last Thursday, I shared that, with the minutes of with the notes that for our Thursday meeting and the Sunday that I've been distributing, I'm going to also attach to that questions. The idea is that I like to have questions asked to me so that I know what you understood or didn't understand. And often when I get a question, I get that feedback. The thing is, when you read scripture, when you read something, just to read the scripture just like that without really thinking, without applying it to yourself, without seeing the way you should work it out in your life, doesn't stay there very long. The retention is limited. And so to increase the retention, if you do thinking about different understanding of what the scripture said and what was said, you are going to remember better. So for that reason, I thought that I'm going to try out, like this afternoon, I'll try to put in the one from last week for last Sunday notes. And you can check them out. And later on, when I do the one for today, I'm going to add them up as well, possibly together with the notes themselves, so that there is not two documents. Okay, but for last week, there's going to be just an additional document with the date there, so you know for when it was that for. And I hope I want to get some feedback to see how useful they are for you. And I hope that they help you. So I'm going to be continuing on the topic that I've been talking about. This is so important. How to apply the scripture, how to work out the scripture in our heart to be transformed. See, just memorizing the scripture by itself without doing the application doesn't do much good. The idea is that they should produce result. But the production of the result depends on the way we receive them. Okay. We receive God's principle, God's ideas, God's judgment. And, many of God's judgment, the world knows about it, but doesn't do any good for them to know it because they're not interested. It's just sometimes even believers. If you see believers that have been believers for a long time, and they haven't changed. I don't think they've been too much of a believer. Because a believer is somebody that applies the word. Being a doer of the word, not hearer only, in James said, is the key, for making the word effective. It's not effective in itself. It's effective in the person that receives it and appropriated and responded and applies it. Okay? So, and this is, we start from something we said last week, just a reminder, is the truth that does work, that works in us, to set us free. John 8, 31 and 32 talks just about that. Okay? You abide in my word. You are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, it's not the work you do. It's not the things that, you know, it's not behavior modification. It's not anything. It's the truth working in your heart and producing changes there. And that automatically result in a change in you, in the way you are, the way you're going to respond, okay? And this is really, okay, important to understand, but that does not just involve just listening, involve the application, okay? And, you know, and after that, the thing that we finished with last week was, the thing we had to do, and we read from Exodus chapter 34, you know, verse 12 to 14, okay, in which really God was explaining, okay, how important is the covenant that he was establishing with the children of Israel. And that covenant involved a relationship of God with them and them with God, responding properly to that relationship. Okay, this is really what was making all the difference, you know. And it says there, take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with an inhabitant on the land which where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. Praise the Lord. Okay, this idea is that, you know, you be careful the people you interact with, and what happened in that relationship, who is influencing who, okay? For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous, he is jealous God. And this is really the commandment, okay? That it was repeated as the first commandment, you know, it's really the same thing that is repeated in the New Testament, that is always the basis of it. Okay, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay, and that is the key for us getting anywhere. The idea of loving is not the idea of love in the world. The idea of loving is the idea of that we value God. We value your word, his word. We value what he tells us to do. We value what he, you know, the instruction that he gives us. You know, the word before I was using there, you know, when you abide in my word, you will be my disciples. You know, the disciple is somebody who learns, somebody that applies the things that the teacher shows them so that they are lined up. But there is no that discipleship, and this is the problem today. You know, people go to services to be entertained instead of being discipled, applied, okay? And that, the best way that happens, you know, is a one-to-one relationship, you know, and what God wants to have with us is a one-to-one relationship with him. Praise the Lord, okay? And, but the key to understand the scripture, to understand what the scriptures say, is that we value them, that we give them importance, that we give attention to them. Otherwise, they just come in and one ear and go out of the other and doesn't do leave anything not raised inside us. And that's just a complete waste of time. Okay? Now, the important thing to understand, okay, that God expects to do, for us to do something with what he tells us. That is his expectation. It's not that, you know, we can read it, oh yeah, looks interesting, yes, and forget it. No, he wants us to do something with it, okay? And, you know, we have to understand what he has done and what he wants us to do. Because he's not going to do anything that we should do. And lots of people expect God to do everything and they don't want to do anything. Doesn't do any good. Okay? He does his part. He explains what the part that he does, but expect us to do our part in the relationship. Relationships are always, you know, two sides of it. What each side does is important for the relationship to be maintained and to be prospering. Okay, so this is really what is owed respect to you. Okay, if you don't do what God wants you to do, don't be disappointed that you don't get what he said he would do. Because that's the condition that is required for functioning, okay? And we want us to understand that. If God asks us to do something, he knows what he's talking about. You say, well, you know, that's difficult. Well, if he says you can do it, you can do it. But if you don't believe that you can do it, then that's exactly what's going to take place. You're going not to do it, and then you complain because he hasn't done what I expected him to do. Well, that's logical, okay? God's judgments, God's teaching, God's principles, God says something is right because he knows everything. He knows he made you. He knows, the Bible says, all the hair in your head. You don't know that yourself, do you? Don't try to count them because there are too many. Okay? The idea is this, though, that God knows everything that you thought, that you have forgotten, even thought about. See, he has a permanent memory. It's not what we have today. Okay? So the idea is that we have to understand. And he has expectations. In relationship, there is always a mutual expectations. And when you keep your side, you expect the other side to keep his side. So if you do what God tells you to do, you can expect God to do what he said he would do. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we want God to do everything, and we think, I can do it. Well, if he said you can do it, you better listen. Because he knows what he's talking about, okay? And it's interesting to see that sometimes we do not understand why God does certain things for some situation and doesn't do the same thing for somebody else. Okay, the point is, God knows your past. And because he knows your past, he knows what he can expect from you or what he could expect from you. See? I mean, God is completely logical to the extreme because he knows everything. He doesn't forget anything. And so when he has some expectations, he has some good reason to have that because his judgments are righteous. So we have to understand the nature of God, the character of God, the way he functions. You know, if you are a baby, parents know that if you mess it up, they're going to have to change your diapers. Normal. And God does that too. When you are a baby Christian and you mess it up, he knows exactly, and he has to change his diapers often. And so he passed over many things that if you have been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, he's not going to pass it over. He expects you to know better. You know, sometimes parents deal with their children, they start growing up, and they, spoil them because at a certain age, they can do anything and they don't want to do anything because the parents are going to do everything. Don't expect that to happen with God. Because he knows exactly what is right. His judgment is righteous. Okay? Now, we are going to see later on, some situations, okay, that happen at the beginning that in the Bible that show us it was so very important principle according to that, okay? But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. You see, he knows what can expect for you in terms of your understanding, instead of, not only that, but in terms of what you did in the past. What the response that you were in the past, he knows exactly well, and so, you know, he's not going to expect you to be very different from before. But there are some things that they are going to put screws on you to get you moving. Because he doesn't want spoiled believers. He wants growing believers. He wants successful believers in being able to do the things that you could do and you are going to be rewarded for. Praise the Lord. Okay. Behold, I stand at the door, verse 20, and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Hallelujah. See, this is really saying, you know, but we had to open up. We had to be willing to respond and to respond the way he's expecting us to. But he's not going to ask us to do more than we can actually do because he knows. That's why you see sometimes it's just a baby Christian that doesn't know anything. And he's really messed up. And he prays and just get results right away. Some believers, they've been here for 50 years, and pray and get nothing. Why? Because they haven't done any work before. They haven't built up themselves. They haven't, you know, learned to walk with him. And so now they, you know, and they get jealous because the baby Christian, you know, they know they're much messier than they are. Are you following what I'm saying? So don't be jealous for that kind of stuff if there are situations in which you should notice that because everybody experiences what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. So, and then goes on to say, to him who overcomes. You see, he expects us to overcome. Okay. I will grant to sit with me on my throne. That's a big promise, don't you think? Okay. As I also overcame and sat down with my father on his throne. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, did the Spirit say to the churches. So that's really what God wants us to know, want to understand, want to be able to see. What we are talking about here is growing with the Lord and allowing the Lord, okay, according to his teaching, not manipulation, not self-deception, not any of this stuff, but simply speaking the truth in love and telling things the way they are. And then it's after that, it's completely up to you. Okay? So, not only that, but there are even warning about backsliding or apostasy. Apostasy or backsliding is the same thing, falling away. Okay? They are very clearly, you know, throughout the whole Bible, but they're going, for example, on Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 11 and following, there are some interesting things that it says, you know, that we should definitely know that they're there and we have to deal with. Okay? That should help us in understanding. Okay? Of whom we have much to say, he said, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, you know, the dull of hearing is the problem. Okay? Lost the ability to hear. Okay? One of the things that, you know, just generally happen with age. But also, you know, spiritually, okay, happens also because we don't want to hear. And so we just, you know, become dull of hearing. That's the way. Because why? Because our heart, we saw that before, you know, our heart is not committed, not wanting to hear, not keen about actually hearing what God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so that produces, you know, inability to hear. And this is, you know, the problem, okay, with anybody that fall back. If we follow God, we are not going to fall back. We are going to keep growing. We are going to keep moving because the power of God is going to be ministering to us, and we are responding to that, and we are going to grow into what God wants us to be. Okay? So, let me continue here. So there is here the understanding. You know, before I was talking about babies and not babies. You know, goes on here describing that in verse 12. Okay, what the difference between babies and mature believers? Okay, says, for though this by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principle of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. See, one of the difference, you know, it's the fact of how digestible the stuff you eat, and is how digestible your scriptures are when you read them, you know, is really, are you able to process the scripture without getting stomach pain or, you know, getting ministered and getting substance for your growth? Okay, the idea is that, okay? It says, for everyone who partake of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Okay, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, for use of reason, they have senses exercised to discern good and evil. And how do you get the reason of use? Okay, is nothing else than application. They kept applying the word to their life, their situation, and they learn to distinguish the things that work, the things that don't work, the things that the word says to do, and the things it says they don't have to do, and they apply them regularly to their life so that they develop the ability to discern, to know what is good and what is not good. Okay? So the idea is simple, that he's telling us that, okay, that if we want to grow, we had to apply the word. By applying the word, what we are going to do is to acquire the ability to discern what is wrong and what is right. If we don't know the difference, because we don't have the understanding in the word, then what's going to happen is that we cannot respond properly. And we are going to be stuck, okay? So one of the things, usually the point is, even babies sometimes, they've been baby for 50 years, and they can quote scriptures. They maybe have them all by heart and so on, but they haven't done very much with them. And they go around trying to teach other people what to do when they don't know it themselves. That's something that they should not do and should be stopped to do from doing, because they're going to produce more damage than good. And only the people that are mature that should be allowed to teach. Otherwise, they're going to be teaching the wrong stuff. And now, distinguish between mature and the one, okay? It's very easy to distinguish. In John 3:6, give us the very simple principle. It says there, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay. So you can see, these people are doing fleshy stuff or spiritual things. If in their life is manifested things that are works of the flesh, or instead they are the manifestation of the fruit of the spirit. See, maturity is not by this big show that we put up. It's not by the things we say. It's not by the thing we think. It's by the degree in which the fruit of the Spirit are manifested in us. That's the only thing. You know, there are plenty of ministers today that put big shows, and they're completely fleshy. And instead of spreading the truth, they are spreading lies. is not by the so-called miracles or signs and wonders that determines the maturity of a person. Those things, people can fake them. And there are so many fakes of this stuff, they use everything else but the power of God. And young believers, they are sucked in because they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference, and they are lagging the show. It's not the show. Jesus said it very clearly. You shall know them, what? By their signs and wonder, or by the fruit? And the fruit are not the signs and wonder. Jesus always, there is not one time when they requested the sign, that he complied with that. He refused completely to prove himself that way. Oh, he was doing miracles all over the place, but wasn't making a big show of them. If you don't understand that principle, you are going to be sucked in by all these manipulators that are around today. They're not speaking the truth, are just speaking lies, and they're not, there is nothing real in what they do, and the results are not going to be there. Spiritually, you are not going to grow. There's no way. But how do you know that the fruit? Doesn't take very much. You know, just keep your eyes open. It's very, you know, just as the works of the flesh are evident, says in, you know, Galatians 5, so are the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, self-control, all those things are pretty evident. And you know, nobody can fake them. Because they are the result of the Holy Spirit working. You cannot make it within your own strength. See, the difference is they are fruit. A fruit doesn't make any effort, doesn't need to do something special, doesn't need to prepare the thing, is there all the time. And it's naturally there. The works, instead, you had to work for them. You had to really, there is lots of activity taking place. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this is really helping us to respond to the direction, to the Holy Spirit, the Word working in us. Okay? And to wake up. Okay? If we are not aware of these things, okay, wake up to really recognize and you know, understand what the Holy Spirit is doing and when the other things are taking place. Okay? Praise the Lord. And this is, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. See, so the light, the ability to see, that we've been saying that, you know, for the last few weeks. Okay. When we are connected, when we are really wanting to make that connection with God, listening, applying the word, then we are going to be able to hear because our heart is in the right place. But if our heart is not in the right place, doesn't matter what's going on, okay? Doesn't matter what we are going to say, doesn't matter, you know, we are not going to get anywhere. Okay? So it's important, you know, that we start, okay, being awake to what the Holy Spirit is saying us and responding to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay? And says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's the only way for us, okay, to actually understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay. Only when we start connecting and start receiving and start understanding that. Okay. And that involves the position of our heart. You know, it's not just being zealous is going to do it. Paul said it very clearly himself, okay, that they're really zealous, talking about Israel, but not with the right understanding. Okay, is the proper understanding is going to produce result, and it's always connected to those things, you know, the flesh and the spirit. If one is moving according to the flesh or moving according to the spirit. Hallelujah. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, says really, you know, showing that that commitment is fundamental. It says, for what the law could not do, I mean, trying to follow all the principle and the law, you know, in that is weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, you know, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So you see, he dealt with the wrong thing. And he was able to resolve the issue, okay, by coming and demonstrating the truth so that we can actually understand those things. Hallelujah. That the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled, you know, in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you see, the key, the element, what makes a difference is the way we walk, the way we respond. Are we manifesting the works of the flesh, those we had to crucify? That means that's a decision you had to make and actually do it. Okay, once you do that, what happens, you know, then naturally the fruit of the Spirit are going to come up and manifest themselves in us. Praise the Lord. Okay. And so that's the way, you know, so we live according to the flesh, set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. So that's what your focus, that's what your commitment, that's the way you're working it out. And repeating in a different way, you know, 8:6, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. Now, if you get somebody going around talking about Christianity and the Lord and everything else, and he's completely fleshy, he's fake. And if you believe him, you're blind. Because it cannot be together. That is said very clearly here. You cannot walk in the flesh and be spiritual. And the work of the flesh are evident if you just look properly and you are not confused by the show that people put together. Unfortunately, baby Christians can see that. That's why they need help. Okay? Because they are attracted by the show. Well, you know, that's not what should take place in the church. It should be take place discipleship. People should be, you know, introduced to the Spirit of God and the ability to discern the truth from the lie. Praise the Lord. See, we have to understand one thing, okay, that we function by responding to what happened around us. Okay. We have opportunities. As we walk in the world, everything happened around us, and those things, okay, we have to judge. the way we judge those things have an impact on us, because we had to choose not according to our own desire, but according to God's judgment, according to God's principles. When we do that, then we get actually the result that God, you know, the Holy Spirit, the power of the world, all the other things that are there are going to be on our side, and we are going to be blessed. Okay. And so this is what we had to learn to do. Okay, we had to learn to operate that way, walk in the Spirit. But, you know, at the very beginning, put it here. In Genesis, chapter 4. See, I like to go all over the place from the beginning to the end. Why? Because the Bible is always the same. God doesn't change. He says the same thing in Genesis chapter 4 and in Revelation chapter 21. Because God doesn't change. Okay, because the word of God is completely consistent. No matter what people say, that is the truth. So, here says, you know, so the Lord said to Cain, okay, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? So, you see, here is asking a rhetorical question, you know, practically say, you shouldn't be angry. What you did, did you obey? You know? So, but he was upset. You know, then he says, if you do well, you will not be accepted? And then another rhetorical question. Okay? When you follow God, you're not going to be disappointed. That's what he's saying. Okay? Generally, people get mad with God, you know, because they didn't do something and they didn't get what they expected, and then they complain. And this is applied to anybody that does that. They get mad with God because they don't get the result that they expect to get. God is fair. There is nobody more fair than God, more just. But we had to pick up his judgment and follow them. Let me continue here. So, if you do well, will not be accepted. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So, you see, it's our part. The problem is always with the desire, with the lust, with the things that we want. I have to repeat that. You see, that's always the problem. It's not that, God is unfair. It's that you want things our own way instead of allowing God, you know, to be God. That one makes the difference. And that's what he's telling us. You know, if desire is for you to take you the wrong way, but you should rule over it. So that means, you know, if God says something, that means we can do it. Simple as that. And so we have to expect that we can do it, believe that we can do it, and we will be able to do it. We can be able to resist the temptation. Sometimes involves some persistence, some patience. That's another fruit of the Spirit. You see, there are all these fruit of the Spirit that are there, okay, that takes you in the direction of God. And there are all the fruits of the flesh that takes us the other way. And it's for us to choose all the time. The more we understand the word, that's where the problem starts. Because if we are more motivated by our desire, by our lust, by what we want, by what we need, or what we think we need, you know, that is going to block us, the ability for us even to understand the word, because it's the position of the heart that determines our ability to understand, to get wisdom, and to get knowledge. Okay, so that really is all connected. Try to explain this because often it's not understood and people get trapped by their own feelings. Instead, you know, feelings are not spiritual. You know, you go to a movie. It's not real. It's just a story made up. But they know how to play the music. They know how to put the scene together. And you are there getting all involved. It's nothing real. But it's like it's happening to you. But let's make it even more less movie type. You know, you are there and suddenly you remember something happened 5 years ago. Somebody that did something really mean to you. And you remember, you go through the scenes just like watching a movie. And your feelings, your heart start to beat, you start feeling the same, exactly the same thing. When it's the stuff, it's nothing there. And what the word here, what God said, what the Lord said to Cain, you know, you should rule your feelings. You can rule your feelings, and you shall learn to do that, and you shall learn to do that, depending, connecting yourself to the Lord. Because He is going to empower you. If He said not to do something, He is going to empower you to do, because He is faithful, and He is there, and He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The only way for Him to leave you is because you leave Him. He's certainly not going to run after you. Although sometimes he does a bit of that because he's merciful, he's gracious, hallelujah, and take over the situation. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. You know, these are really practical things we have to understand, because if you don't understand them, you're going to have a problem. And if you want to see, is this true for believers too? Absolutely. You want an example, and this is the Old Testament? Take David. David loved the Lord, and the Lord knew that David loved the Lord. But you put him in the wrong place, on the wrong part of his house, in which he could see somewhere else, and, you know, his eyes got caught up into something that he shouldn't have been looking at. And what happened? Not one sin, but a bunch of sin, one after the other, including murder and other things of that type that anybody would be able to see they were fleshy things. Are you following me? Okay. You say, but this guy loved the Lord. What's the matter with him? Well, he's... See, the flesh took over because his attention went in the wrong place. And nobody is above that. So the only way sometimes to overcome temptation is pick up and run. That's the only way. But some other things are more subtle. You know, in that case, it was evident. Some other things are more subtle. And so you had to really be awake. That's what I was saying. Unless we are awake, we are not aware of what's going on inside ourselves. Say, there are zombies around, you know, just take stuff, you know, people take drugs, or, you know, and then they wonder why they get involved in messes. Sure. I mean, your mind wasn't there. You weren't able to make the right decision. You were focused on the wrong thing, on feelings. That's what drugs do. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. This is practical stuff, okay? But if you don't understand practical stuff, how are we going to apply it? All right? So, I mean, I like to take some time to go through the process that David went through. When Psalm 51, verse 1, I just cannot do the whole thing today, but I'm going to open up the can of worm. Okay? I mean, this is really interesting because it gives us step by step all the different phases, all the different things. It's really good. Okay? So, you know, the fact that he got, okay, when he starts sinning, he didn't just sin. He went through a series of progression of sin further and further away until, you know, he was just under. Okay? That's what happens. You open up and you just keep sleeping, keep you know, not being awake, and you don't know what's going on. By the time you realize, it's too late. Now, what happened there? Someone, you know, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone to Bathsheba, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions." That's what he said. So you see, I mean, because he knew God, because somebody had to go there and prick him on his back to be able to wake him up. He was asleep out of his own feelings and emotions and desires. And just because he knew God enough, as soon as the prophet went there and talked with him, he woke up and immediately recognized, "God, forgive me, I blew it." Okay. But here is the immediate reaction. That is the response of the prophet. Okay, he realized. See, he was asleep before. Asleep, brought to sleep through his senses, to his feelings, to his emotions. Emotions do that all the time. Emotions are not spiritual. People thinking, "Oh, I'm all excited." Sometimes it's more flesh than anything else. And you can see, because the same people, one moment are all excited, and from next moment, they really got into the mess. Okay. So, as soon as he realized that, he started doing the work that he should have done before when the temptation had come. Okay. Sometimes we don't know the idols or the lusts or the other things that can blind us. The only way to find out is when the opportunity comes. That's the moment of truth. That is where you realize what is actually going on inside you. Before that, you have not a clue. That's why, you know, sometimes we don't know. We need to realize what's happening the moment in which the temptation happens. And that can be of any type. This I'm here giving an example, because here in the psalm is explained and went into detail of what David did to actually break through. Okay? When he woke up, he went through a series of steps, okay, in which he dealt with the idols inside him. Okay? And one of the things that we read, you know, the in before last week, you know, the fact of burning the altars of the idols is critical to be able to connect with God. Because there are going to be interference against our ability to actually listen, to hear what God is saying. Okay? Well, I think I cannot go through this process because it will take at least half an hour. Okay? But the idea is this, though. Okay? You can see how important is for us to understand, okay, how this process works, how it's easy for us to be put to sleep by our feelings and not control them according to the thing, oh, I know, it's okay, it's fine, right? But when it's not, and we are going to be dull of hearing. Our eyes won't be able to see what we are doing. And if we keep there, things are not going to get better. They are going to grow worse because, life in itself always going is never static. It's always going one direction or the others. And we have the choice. We are in a place in which we should control our feelings, our emotions, our ideas, our thoughts, so that we can go according to God's judgment, not according to our feelings. When we learn to do that, and what happened? We have matured to a degree. That's what it says, what the difference between babies and mature believers. The difference is that by trial and error, by actually use of work or experience, they develop the ability to discern when things hit them at the emotional level and they don't respond and they take a position. If they need to, Joseph did, pick up, lose the tunic and run away from the place because you don't want to be caught up there, because otherwise you're going to fall. It's not always as clear, all right? And this is why, but the work of the flesh are going to be able to be identified very quickly if you are awake or to a degree, okay? Because they are evident. That's what the word says. If the word says they are evident, then we believe what God said. Okay? So praise the Lord. Well, I think that I'm going to close for now. And maybe next week we are going to get more into that to see what the way David reacted to the situation, the step he took, okay, that are the general step that everybody has to take to do what? Deal with the altars that are in our heart, of idols that should be removed, okay? Because it's not just, a decision that you, minor decisions, sometimes there are major decisions that we had to do to realize what really going on there, because up to that moment, they weren't put on the spot. You see, it's when you are on the spot and the temptation comes, that's the time when it's revealed what is there. And the way we respond is critical, because either we keep going the wrong direction or we just turn around and do the right thing, correct, and grow and develop some strength. But there is some burning of altars to do. Praise the Lord. Or ouch, I don't know. Amen. But we had to talk about the ouch too. Because this is such an important concept of really connecting with the living God that has certain expectation from us. And when we know that we understand the way he works, actually what happens, we don't need Nathan the prophet to come to us, hopefully, because there are not many of that type today. Now you got the Holy Spirit, and that should be more than enough, okay, for us to be guided. But the point is, doesn't matter what, according to the level we are at, God is going to judge us fairly. He's not going to be harder on you than he needs to. Actually, Psalm 103 says, that he doesn't punish us according to our sins. Okay? But this is not a justification to say, okay, I can go around and do whatever I want. Okay? That is, we have to understand the way it works. And so we can benefit from the slack that God sometimes gives us. Okay? But there is a limit. And so when we understand that, then we are going to see how fast we progress instead of being stuck. Praise the Lord. So let's close in prayer. I hope you got something today. Generally, people don't talk about this stuff because people don't like to hear it. But instead, we should want to hear it, because if we want to hear it, that's where the breakthroughs come from. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that shows us the truth, your judgment, the ability that we have, that you have given us to overcome, that you are there to rebuke us, to guide us, to strengthen us, so that we can come to allow you to set us free. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your truth, that give us power to overcome and be victorious with all temptations and all feelings that can be inside us. We can overcome because Jesus came to explain to us the truth and to set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you and praise you for the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, which is our trust in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.